Welcome back to Filmmaking Novel Podcast. This is part four of my conversation with actor and director Hick Sherman. This question I was curious about is like, I know like some actors won't take roles because of the language in it or the subject matter. So I was just curious of like the limits on that.
It's kind of hard to set them until, like I said, until it's presented to you.
Yeah.
You know, and once it's presented to you, then you can, you know, you can look at it and you can see the motives behind the story.
Right.
You can see there's something underlying in the story. So you have a lot more to look at, and then you can, you know, once you have all the evidence in front of you and what it is, then you can, you know, take it and put it up against what your moral compass is.
Right.
Right. You know, because everybody's moral compass is different. We all try to stay on track with that, but you know, you got people who come from different backgrounds,
right,
who went to different schools, who have different religions, so we're all so like different and unique. So I'd have to have it laid out in front of me and be like, okay, you know, this I can do, but I don't think this is necessary for me to do. So, well, if you can do this and you can't do this, then I want you to do both of them. Well, then I can't do it.
Right.
You know, you can work with me here or not, you know, it's not going to ruin my career. It's not going to, you know, we talked about, we pushed that whole word sacrifice and hard work, you know, it's like, so be very careful about letting anything destroy that.
Right.
You know, or penetrate what we've built, you know?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Questions for me?
Questions for you. You know, I had one. I can't remember what question it was.
Must have been that important.
Oh, screw you. No, I'm laughing though, because like I was thinking about this when I was driving here. I'm like, oh, I wanted to ask him this and I cannot remember what I wanted to ask you.
Any idea what it might have been about?
Nope. That's what I'm trying to think about.
And you think about it on the way over here today?
Yeah, it was actually. My girlfriend's asking me if I ate my second can of Vienna sausage. How many people you have come to an interview with Vienna sausage?
You're the first.
So
you're the first male guest and the first one to bring up Vienna sausages.
Yeah, man. You know, inflation, bro.
Word.
Yeah, it's true. Inflation. You know, it's crazy because, I was on set one time and they asked me if I – in fact, I was filming Your Honor, scene right, with Cranston. And the PA asked me if I wanted water. And the reason I'm telling you this story is because, you know, I'm from the Bayou and we just don't change.
Right.
Like, we change, like, I think we change spiritually and stuff like that, but we just have these habits that we stay into. And the PA come and asked me if I want some water. And I tell him, yeah. And he says, well, do you want bottle? I got Evian. I can get you some ice and, you know, cup and... He's like, I can get you the flavored waters, right, and the sparkling waters. And I'm like, no, man, just like give me a cup of water.
Right.
He's like, you want the bottle? And it's just like made it way more difficult than it needed to be. Like it made it way
give
more.
Give me a hose pipe.
Well, I'm glad you said that because this is where this goes to. Did I tell you the story before that you knew that?
No.
So finally, I'm just like, look, man. Like, okay, I'm freaking out because I'm, like, doing a scene with Bryan Cranston. So, like, and number one, I showed up and I didn't even know I was doing that.
Right.
I was literally put on the spot and thrown behind the bar. And I notice there's a stand in there. I don't look at his name tag. And I'm sitting there trying to improv and figure out what I'm going to do behind this bar. And I turn around and they replace the stand in with Bryan. And there he is. And he's like, hi, I'm Bryan. And I'm like... Yeah, dude, like, I know who you are. I'm Hick. Oh, Hick, I never heard of that name before. And we start talking, whatever. But a little later on, you know, like, I'm still nervous and we're still doing this. And this PA asks me if I'm one. He gives me all these options. And I said, look, man, just like a regular cup of water. It's cool. I said, I used to drink out of a hose pipe when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, a what? I was like, a hose pipe. Yeah, what's a hose pipe? I'm like, you know, like a garden hose, you know, like hooked to a house, like, see, water the flowers with. Bro, that kid looked at me with disgust. Like, he looked at me with disgust. And then, you know, so I still like my normal, like, I try, like, obviously I can't get Vienna sausage on a big production set, you know, but like this one I'm doing at the end of April, they're like, what do you want to eat? I was like, oyster po' boy. Like, that's what I'm getting. I'm going to get to eat oyster po' boy at the end of this month because that's what I wanted. And, like, they asked me earlier. I was like, oyster po' boy. And then another one, I did a music video, which comes out. I'm going to give a little shout out to Brave New World, who got me to be a lead in their music video, and it comes out on the 15th, which I believe is Friday.
Yeah.
And I had gratons.
Nice.
On set, you know, like, that's what I like. I was like, look, I can sit there and eat the pork crackling and Vienna sausage. So today I brought two cans of Vienna sausage, and I ate one, and I still got one left, and my girlfriend was wanted to know if I ate my other can of Vienna sausage. You know, I'm just a good old boy.
Yeah you are.
This is the smoked. I'm a big fan of the barbecue and the smoked. So, yeah. It's also a big fan of potted meat and crackers.
Really? I'm not surprised.
Yep.
I'm not surprised.
Yep. So, it's what I eat during the day in the oil field. I have the options to bring whatever I want to work to eat for lunch, and I still bring me my pack of crackers and my Vienna sausage and my potted meat. Yep.
Wow. Wow. You like what you like. You still remember your questions?
No, man, I don't. One of them was if you ever had a guest with Vienna sausage before. I remember that was one of them I wanted to ask you. I guess, you know, so me being an actor and you know, you've also done some acting and you've also...
Did the acting class.
Well, it's acting. But to be on I guess you end up as a director and making this film, this Dear Kate film. Man, that's scary. That's a big thing to take on.
What?
A movie.
Yeah.
A feature.
Yeah.
A feature film. You know, this is how long is it?
The runtime right now with credits is 2 hours and 2 minutes.
It's a movie, man. You made a movie and you have some really good talent in it. And you let me sneak peek some stuff and it looks really good. And I'm a man that can take on a lot, but I don't know if I can take on that challenge that you took. That's a really big challenge. So, you know, sometimes when I get a part or I'm looking at something and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I could pull this off. I think of Brandon who pulled off making a movie.
Really?
A 2 hour something movie. Yeah. I mean, how hard is that, dude? You know, like, I'm an actor. Like, I've been on sets. I've seen, especially independent films, the challenges that people face. You know, so, you know, you took an idea.
Right.
And you put it on paper.
Right.
And then you, in your mind, put together a visual story.
Right.
Then you had to take the story and make it come to life. But not only you had to make it come to life with the actual visual story, is you had to bring in the right people to actually, you know, make the audience feel what you wanted them to feel. That's quite a challenge.
Yeah, I guess it is.
You guess it is. You're full of it. You know how hard it was. You know, so I guess my question is like, how scared were you?
Honestly?
From the beginning. When you're like, this is what I'm going to do. And did you think that, did you ever once doubt, and the reason I asked you this is because Jonah Hill just brought this up with the Jerry Garcia movie he's making and how it came about. I don't know if you heard that story. You know, so he's sitting at his computer during COVID and he's writing and he's listening to The Grateful Dead and he's like, man, why nobody ever made a movie on Jerry Garcia? And he just started this production company and his big thing was that he was embarrassed to tell the idea. Like, he was scared, not embarrassed, but he was scared of the rejection of putting the idea out there. And when he did, little did he know that Scorsese wanted to do it and he's getting to make a film with two of his about one of his heroes and with one of his heroes, you know, and he mentioned that. And, you know, so like one of his big things, and I think us as actors and then also filmmakers and writers, is that sometimes we're afraid to put ideas out there. Like, how afraid were you in the beginning? Or were you just like, you know what, I believe in this and this is what I'm doing and I don't care, like, who says what about it? Or like, did you have some fear about putting it out there?
You know? There's definitely has been fear with it. I think I took a very unconventional approach to this project because this is basically my directorial debut. I mean, I directed a couple of student short films and some short films outside of that. It's like first big
thing. Yeah, it's just big.
I was definitely fearful of the idea of people not liking it and stuff like that. But then I said, for lack of better terms, F them. No, it took me like 4 or 5 years to write that script. And I was bound and determined to just to do it, you know. And I made mistakes along the way. I'll be the first to admit that. I learned from them. And now to the point where, like, after having everything filmed and the picture locked and seeing the progression we have with it now, I get more and more excited about it. Like I was showing you sneak peeks of it earlier. Like, what did I say to you? It's like, the problem I have with this movie is that when I start it, I don't want to stop watching it.
Yeah.
You know? And I wrote it. I was there for every day of filming. I knew exactly what was going to happen. I'm still interested in what's going to happen. I appreciate everybody that's worked on it. I met some amazing people with it. And I'm glad to see that a lot of them are moving on to doing even bigger things. You know, I'm just really excited about it.
So in saying that, and you kind of touched on it, your advice to other people out there who have that spark of an idea and are afraid to is, you know, F them.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yeah, and you know, you're right, man.
Let's do it. I mean, like the only way you want, okay, first off, a lot of people say they want to be filmmakers until they have to do it. And they realize it's not just put up a camera and just shooting something. It's a lot of work. It goes involved with making a film. I forgot what else was going with this. Two, not everybody's going to like your work. Accept it. They're not. I totally forgot where I was going with this whole thing. But, like, you just got to do it. Like, stop worrying about everybody else. And just do it. And you're going to make mistakes. I guarantee you will make mistakes. I'm not trying to gloat none of that. This is facts. I graduated valedictorian from my college in cinematography. You know what that means? Absolutely positively nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
You know? I mean, I've been able to be taught something. I have knowledge about how cameras work, what makes a good image, how lighting works. But until I put it in practice, it doesn't matter. No, I basically, with the exception of a few generous donations, I basically self-fund this entire movie by myself, right? Nobody gave me anything for this. Nobody did. Financially. What people did give me was their time and their talent. And for that, I'm forever grateful for that.
And I think it's more priceless than any dollar amount.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because we give in only so much time and it's not something we get back.
Right. And so, I am forever grateful and appreciative of everybody who worked on this project, whether it be for one day, 1 hour, or for the whole entire thing. It doesn't matter. People who were there for the long haul, people that were at the short amount of time no longer involved with the project because everybody was important in some fashion or shape or whatever because it helped me grow in numerous different ways.
And you said that you know be ready for people not to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I read something once and I want to say it was Rick Rubin who put it out there, was that as an artist, and I guess any artist, you know, you do painters, poets, filmmakers, actors, whatever your art may be,
right,
is your only job is to put it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Once you put it out there, your job is done. Once you put out your complete piece of art where you feel like this art is complete, your job is done.
Yep.
The rest of the job is on the world and how they perceive it. And it really hit me, and it helped me with auditioning.
Right.
Once I sent an audition, my job is done.
Mm-hmm.
I did my job. My job was to give whatever I could to this audition to the best of my ability. And then I need to, like, walk away from it. I did my job. If it leads me to another job, which may be a callback or a booking.
Right.
Then I deal with that job when it comes. And that's what I had to do, you know. And that's, I think, the whole, as simple and as barbaric as it may sound, the whole F 'em is the truth. Because, you know, they say acceptance is the answer to all our problems. Once we can accept that we've completed a piece of art that we truly believe in, and we put it out there, and we walk away and say, our job, my job is done.
Right.
And accept that my job is done. If people love it, great. If people don't, great.
Right.
But your work is complete.
Mm-hmm. And that is, I'm not gonna lie, it's scary, especially like when you put so much time and effort in something, you want everybody to love it. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody
right.
love it. You know, and you were saying something about the barbaric way of saying F them. You know, I've heard numerous people say, I want to do this, whether it be direct, a feature film, or whatever. My answer to them is, then go do it.
Then go do it. Go,
don't say you want to do it. Go do it.
Now take an action.
Yeah.
Take an action. Yeah, you can talk about it all day. It's like it's the way the world works now. It's what's kind of crazy. You know, you could go and you experienced turning in resumes after the hurricane, and you know that you can put whatever you pretty much want in your resume, but until you are working and you're there and you show them what you can do, that resume, they can read that till they're blue in the face. So it's about taking action, you know? Yeah, I agree, man. I agree with that, you know?
That's my advice to people. I want to do this, I want to do that. Then go
do it. Yeah, do it.
No matter what it is, if you want to be an actor, go act. Go take lessons. Get headshots. Professional headshots. Invest in yourself. You want other people.
Yeah, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
It's you know, making a film how expensive it is, and I know as an actor, like, investing in yourself how expensive it is. Yeah. It's expensive. A lot of people think that they go into set and make $145 for the day as a background extra actor, and they're gonna get what you call it? When people get discovered.
Right.
Right there, you know, like, oh, what if I get discovered? If I hurry and can etch in front of this camera again, it just don't work like that, you know.
No,
it don't work like that. It's possible.
Not but they probable. Are
very not probable. There it is.
It's possible, but not probable. That's the way I see it. But like you said, it could happen, but don't put all those chickens in all your eggs in that one basket.
Yeah,
you know, whatever that saying goes.
You'll work out the acting muscle.
Yeah,
study. Man, what I learned is stay humble.
Yeah, absolutely.
You can be very proud of your accomplishments, but stay humble. I went months without working, and then all of a sudden just nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
And stay humble and continue to make sacrifices, continue to change, continue to grow, and keep pushing. That's all you can do. As somebody used to tell me, keep chipping away at it.
Yep.
Keep chipping away at it. And I think you'll do that just like in life when, you know, with growth.
Right.
You know, you just got to keep taking action and trying.
Absolutely. You ready for it? You ready for it?
Yeah.
Strawberry or grape jelly?
Grape.
Get out, leave, go by.
and only one way.
What way is that?
Swirled in peanut butter.
Oh.
So you think you were disgusted with my answer? How disgusted are you now?
Yeah. I don't know.
How disappointed?
No, I'm not that disappointed.
But I will say this, man. I don't know if I can mention its name, but this big corporate store that's all over America that people shop at, and then a little smiley face is their sign sometimes for rollback prices. I'll keep it at that. Okay. Sells an ice cream, and it's a biscuit and jelly ice cream.
Really?
And it's pieces of biscuit and grape jelly in it.
Seriously?
So good. Cheap brand too, bro. Like $2 for a little container.
Really?
So good. It's in a vanilla ice cream, and it's a biscuit and jelly.
Speaking of weird ice cream flavors, my son, yesterday was my birthday, right?
Right.
And why was it? That was Saturday. It was a Friday. They went, I was at work. My wife and the kids went shopping. And they bought the birthday cake and all that crap. But anyway, he bought an ice cream because he wanted to try it. Macaroni and cheese ice cream.
Oh.
I refuse to try it. That is just too weird. The macaroni and cheese is not good with ice cream. I don't care who you are. I think we still have some.
Oh, I don't know about that.
No, I don't know either.
Yeah, it sounds like something that Harlan was picking up and half-baked to bring back to the apartment, and the horse, he fed it to the horse.
Butter stuff, buttercup!
It sounds like something he'd have fed the buttercup.
Yeah. When you said something about the biscuits and jelly ice cream, it may remind me of the macaroni and cheese ice cream.
Yeah, Boston was pretty good. I was pretty surprised.
But anyway. Top five favorite genres of movies. And I'll go a little bit further with it to watch.
So in any order?
Any order.
Drama, thriller, suspense. Psychological thriller would count as one.
Okay.
I'm not too big into comedy, man.
Me neither.
Not these days. Mm. You know, I've been rewatching Seinfeld late at night just for the dry humor.
Right.
I don't know. I'm going to stick with four.
Fair enough.
Horror.
Right.
Like horror.
Top five movies.
Oh, man. That's not fair.
It's always fair.
Dear Kate.
Yeah, okay.
God. Oh, man.
Cedar Creek. Obsidian. Antebellum, Emancipation, Gotcha, five covered.
Easy Rider.
Okay.
Taxi Driver.
Okay.
Steve Martin's The Jerk.
Okay.
Godfather.
The first one?
The first one.
Okay.
Oh, this is tough, man. There's so many good movies. '78 Halloween. Okay. I tried to stick to the horror and the.
Yeah.
I know I didn't have any comedy, but The Jerk is one of my all time favorite. Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Top three directors.
Kubrick, Scorsese, and I gotta be real three. Let's see. It's a tough one between like Wes and Tarantino. Can I just tie them up?
All right. Yeah. Four of them. One, great.
And not Wes Craven. Anderson.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was your biggest influence as far as acting goes? Okay, let me rephrase that. What actor has been the biggest inspiration or whatever as far as acting goes?
So I get that one a lot, but I think as I grow, it changes. Beginning, you know, I mentioned loving Easy Rider, and you know, it's kind of tough, man, because I'd have to say, you know, Dennis Hopper in you know, Easy Rider. I remember that him just being so captivated by his character.
Right.
But it's when I, you know, I also loved Nicholson, but I'd have to say ultimately, like, if I looked at a performance and an actor and I was like, man, this is what I want to do. Like, to take a person and create this character, and it would have to be Nicholson in The Shining. It is just a brilliant performance in my book. It's comedy. It's madness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just the complexity of the change of that character throughout that movie. You know, you really feel it.
Yeah.
The other night, out of the blue, I put him on. God damn it, Jack Nicholson. You know, because the other night I caught myself watching him, you know, just the dialogue of A Few Good Men of him in court.
Yep. It was funny you said it, because I was just thinking about that scene.
My girlfriend never watched it.
Really?
So we were watching a rom-com, was As Good As It Gets, with right. him and what's her name?
Might be a rom-com fan, so I couldn't tell you.
Me neither. She wanted to watch it, and I watched it with her, and it's Keanu Reeves, her, and not Diane Lane, the other one. Anyway, so we're watching Jack Nicholson, and we're talking about how weird it is to see Nicholson in these rom-coms, right?
You know? Yeah.
Because he still has, like, this rawness about him, and I said, have you ever seen him in, you know, she saw him in The Shining, but I was like, have you ever seen him in, A Few Good Men?
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I never watched that. And I was like, let me show you a scene. And we played the scene of her and, you know, Colonel Bishop and Kathy and the whole thing going on. You know, she was kind of wild about it, you know, and his I don't know, man, what it is about Nicholson, but he you just can't not watch him right. when he's on the screen. You know, you just can't. Like, I can't. Like, right. I can't. Pie. It could be whatever, and he's on, and I'm like, ah. Yeah, you think about what he did with the Joker and what he did, you know, yeah. So, like, I guess Nicholson and Hopper are two big influences, but they change. You know, when I worked with Cranston, like, at the time, you know, I just kept thinking about, like, his brilliant performances in Breaking Bad. And then, you know, when I worked with Will Smith, I was like, man, you know, like, I seen him perform a lot, like, in front of me, these scenes, and I'm like, oh, he's amazing. So it's constantly changing for me. But to go way back, I mean, yeah, it'd have to be, like, Hopper and Nicholson. And I have many other ones that that I thought were just brilliant. You know, there's just so many good, like, brilliant character actors out there.
Yeah.
I mean, there really are ones that just never got that big leading. But, I mean, as far as a character actor, I mean, amazing performances, and their range is just so wide, you know. So there's just so many talented ones out there, but. Shit, I didn't realize how much of a Nicholson fan I was until this podcast, honestly.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Wow. Still haven't thought of any other questions?
No, I can't think of that question. I can't think of it. It might have been just me asking you about the fear thing, because it was, I was curious about that. It's a very courageous and brave thing to do, to take on something like that.
Thank you.
And that, you know, you got to be a certain breed of human being to take that on.
Just dumb.
I think sometimes, you know, we may think that, because I know I definitely do when I feel like I've taken on too much of it. I think it's more just the strength of passion.
I could buy that.
You know, you have to have, you know, saying like in that monologue, you have to have passion, or why bother?
Right.
Yeah. You know, why bother?
Yeah.
You know, it's something in us that, that burns, and the drive is stronger than most things that we care about, and it's what makes us tick, and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree. Well, I hope you had a good time.
I did, man.
So
was it. It was so good that I did not eat one can of smoked Vienna sausage.
What?
Yeah, I still got one left.
What? It's for the ride home.
Oh, no, I'm not opening that up in my car. They're going to wait back, and you know, my day is going to consist of me maybe eating that can of Vienna sausage, but I will be going sit by this really cool park and looking at another script. You know, it's an everyday thing with this. It's a... somehow film creeps up into your life every day.
Yeah. But Hick, it was fun.
Yes, thank you.
It was a pleasure.
Humbled and honored, man.
Not as much as I am humbled and honored.
I appreciate that.
You know,
good Sunday talk.
Huh? Oh, yeah, for sure. Would you mind letting our audience know where they can find you on the social media?
Yes, you can find me, Hick Sheremy, on Facebook, and you can find me... Hick Sheremy _ actor on Instagram, and you can find me Hick Sheremy, HICKCHEREMIE on IMDb. And you know, a lot of people message me and they're like, what can I watch you in?
Right.
Just Google it, Hick Sheremy. You also get to find a bunch of interviews I did and stuff between sobriety and film.
Yeah.
You go to IMDb, and if you're not sure about some, I think the only stuff I have really out right now is like, we got see Vampire Bud, the second episode hasn't even aired yet on Amazon. The first one just did, but I got Obsidian, I think it was Amazon. I don't even know what platforms.
I know it's on Amazon.
I forgot I did the music video today. You know, you forget stuff. You did. Like, oh man, I worked on that the other day. Like, I don't know what it was. Somebody sent me something, or I saw something, and I'm like, oh wait, I'm like the lead in this music video. And it's like, oh, it comes out next week, you know, because I've been focused on the agent, and I've been focused on the what deal. But you can go to IMDb and see what I'm on, and search for it on social media, type my name, search for it on IMDb, and or on Amazon, and I think Tubi, we have some stuff on Tubi. Obsidian's on Tubi, and Money Plane is, I think, on Hulu, and Antebellum's on Hulu.
Yeah.
And you don't get to see me too much in there, but
but you're there. That's all that matters.
Yeah, I'm there.
And of course, I'm gonna have the links to your social media and the show notes and stuff like that. So click away and have a good time with that. Anything else?
No, man. I'm just grateful I'm here. I'm grateful that I'm you know, with Action Talent Agency now. They have a really
big congrats again.
That. Thank you, man. It
don't forget us little people.
Now the work really begins. You know, now the work really begins. It was a big decision. And, you know, Angie Moncrief, just the little while that I've known her, seems absolutely amazing. And I've worked with many of her clients, so I'm excited to be a part of that family and see where it takes me. You know?
For sure. You definitely deserve it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And on that note, we shall see y'all next time. Deuces. Thank you for joining us. Enjoy us next week with a new guest and a new conversation.